This is the Rich Eisen Show.
The Patriots, according to Schefter telling IU, it's not you, it's us.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
And we have Rich Eisen Show exclusive sound of Brandon Ayuk's response to that.
You're giving me the it's not you, it's me routine?
Earlier on the show, host of Roku's Honest Renovations, Jessica Alba and Lizzie Mathis. Coming up, NFL Network insider Mike Garofolo, Packers wide receiver Christian Watson. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. Great conversation in hour number one with Jessica Alba and Lizzie Mathis. We're both here from the Roku channel show Honest Renovations. Season two is going to be coming up on this wonderful portal called Roku later on this month, August 23rd. If you missed it, you missed a heck of a lot. I got to be honest with you. I thought in the first 5 minutes of the conversation, I lost control of it.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, I had to jump in at some point. Yeah. And it's one of those things when you're interviewing somebody for the first time or two people at the same time for the first time, you just got to, you know, get the vibe. And I almost had to jump out to separate.
Yeah, did anyone else feel it was a little couples therapy there for them?
They were kind of
working some stuff out?
Yes.
Yeah.
It was like almost a roast.
Yeah. Very honest with each other, which you have to respect.
That's part of the name of their show.
Yeah.
At any rate, it was great. And certainly since they had a problem with the way the women's beach volleyball Olympians are dressed. And it's too bad. Listen, Jay, love that you're here. Del Tufo being here in that instance would have taken that thing completely off the rails, because the number of times that he just cannot focus on this program because Canada is serving. You know, I mean, when Spain was spiking, he was out. He was out.
He was just like, blah, 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 Brazil.
You know what I mean?
And he won't stop. He was
so upset that the Brazil team was wearing shorts yesterday. Like he was ready to fly to Paris to protest.
It's kind of why
like there's a train strike in Paris.
It's kind of why I chose to stay silent for fear of saying the absolute wrong thing.
Correct.
Which I would have.
Which you always do.
So yeah. So I just shut up and I was like, thank goodness Mike's not here because he has the inability to be quiet.
That's correct.
So yeah. I just bit my tongue.
At any rate, great conversation. If you missed it, we re-air as soon as this show is over.
Should I put that out as a poll? Do you have an issue with
women's
beach volleyball uniforms?
Don't. I almost
Would that be 95.5?
Speaking of a poll, I almost brought up the French pole vaulter with them, but I decided not.
That's what I was thinking too.
I was about to say that and decided to, don't
you know, like that. That there's certain.
Are they still here? Can we just bring them back out real quick?
Bring them back out. Hey. Let's talk inappropriately. Hey. Mike Garofolo is going to join us from an undisclosed location. I don't know where he is, but we'll find out which training camp he's at.
Somewhere out there.
And find out what's the holdup with Brandon Ayuk? Do you think the Niners are trying to run a clock out of some sort? What is happening?
Well, I don't know. 5 minutes ago, the Niners just signed the artist formerly known as Robbie Anderson.
What's his name now?
Robbie Chosen.
Chosen Anderson.
Yeah.
Let me tell you one thing they're not doing. Signing Chosen Anderson to take the place of Brandon Ayuk. That ain't happening.
I mean, I don't know.
But they are down. Here's what happens.
Down a wide receiver in camp.
Correct.
They need bodies. Yes,
correct.
Yeah.
That is correct. And if you're Chosen Anderson, you're like, I would rather be in Niners camp than at the crib, at the house.
Yep.
I'd like to play in a preseason game so I can, you know, maybe have a few catches and show what I can do.
Yep.
So there's another team that goes, oh, okay.
Put some tape out there.
Right. That makes sense if you're Chosen Anderson, and it makes sense if you're for the 49ers. But anybody out there saying, uh-oh, Ayuk's gone because they signed Chosen Anderson, I choose to tell you, you are wrong. So
I see what you did there. Chosen.
Did you see what I did there? You know what I'm saying?
And then you put it. Yeah.
Wordsmith.
Yeah, I mean, that's what he does, Chris.
Honestly, at this point in time, I am safe to say nobody knows what's going on. It's all over the place. It's everywhere. And
we know the Patriots are out.
That's the only thing we know is that the Patriots took a look at the situation and decided if we go and get this guy, it will stunt the growth of all of our young receivers. So we're just going to focus on the young receivers that are here. That's the only thing we know. And that shows to show you, Chris.
We have a plan.
You got a plan.
Yeah. We do have a lot of young receivers. That is not inaccurate.
Guess what would help the young receivers?
Brandon Ayuk.
Brandon Ayuk would help those young receivers.
I'm just saying there are a lot of young receivers.
How did they spitball that? Like, what are we going to say that we're out to make sure that we can't be? By the way, I don't think there's any. It's no secret that they are rebuilding in New England. There is no secret. This is what happens when a GOAT coach departs. And you chose third overall because you were the third to worst team in the National Football League last year.
We weren't worse enough, to be honest. But
they didn't get the memo.
You know.
So that's the only thing that's come out of the Brandon Ayuk scenario at this point in time.
Yep. Can I just throw this out there real quick? Matt Scheidman, who covers the Packers.
Yes.
Jordan Love appears to be walking gingerly after getting knocked to the ground on 11-11. Head trainer playing with his left knee. Love was grabbing the back of his left leg. Appears to be very minor. I repeat, appears to be very minor.
See,
but still,
this is the whole thing.
I know, but it's still, hey, left knee, quarterback goes down. I'm a little...
But... Okay. That's the thing with access and camp and all of this stuff.
I know, everything gets...
That's how Drake May turned out to be hot garbage for about 48 hours, right?
Yeah.
Anyway, Christian Watson's going to join us in hour three.
Drake May plays football tonight, people.
That's right.
Let's go.
Oh,
Drake.
Boy.
Against his hometown team. He is a Carolina guy, grew up a Panthers fan, and that's who the Patriots play tonight, so excited.
Bryce Young going to get out there as well. That'll be great. That's tonight. Oh, baby, we'll talk about it on tomorrow's show.
7 Eastern.
Look at you. Well done. It's almost as if they didn't tell you, don't let the door hit you in the ass.
I told them. I broke up with them. It wasn't them, it was me. All right?
You know what? I did give you the out. You took
there
it.
There was a clear pathway.
You took it.
And I ran through that door.
But it may have looked like, you know how you see the dog retirement videos, you know, and police officers are lining the pathway for the dog and they're throwing tennis balls at him.
Yeah.
That was you leaving NFL Network. So.
You have your version. I have mine.
Okay. By the way, Bryce Young not playing tonight.
Not playing tonight. Scared.
He's not.
Scared of the big moment.
Please.
I'm just kidding. Careful. But is it derelict of duty for Bryce Young to not be playing in these games? Doesn't he need as many reps as possible?
You know what he needs? To be healthy week one going into New Orleans. That's what he needs.
A new coach and you're just not going to play this dude?
Good question. I don't know. But probably preseason game two. That's the way these things go.
Yes.
Don't you need to get the reps for Andy Dalton anyway?
Andy Dalton's injured. I don't know who's playing
Look
tonight.
It up. By the way, we're supposed to be experts and you're like, let me Google that. Glad you're laughing.
I'm not up to date on the Panthers depth chart.
All right, in the meantime.
Jack Plummer.
By the way, is that Jake Plummer coming out of retirement saying, my name's Jack?
That would be amazing.
Sort of like Leon Sandcastle showing up.
This guy kind of does look like Jake. I don't think they're related, however.
So, hey, let's talk about this here. There's a retirement that was announced in the National Football League today. It's Nick Foles. He announced his retirement. And I kind of want to pause here and talk about one of the more fascinating careers in football that we've seen in a long while, right? Because I took some time before the show, because I'm a professional, to look it all up. He's a kid who spent 1 year at Michigan State in 2007. He played one game, his first game at Michigan State. He wound up getting in the game against UAB. This is before UAB folded and opened back up again.
Right.
He went 5-for-8, didn't play the rest of the year. You know who was in front of him? The guy the Patriots couldn't quit forever, Brian Hoyer. And so he left. He transferred because Hoyer was there and he wasn't going to get any time. Yeah. And this is back in the day when you had to sit out a year. So 2008, he didn't play. And then from 2009 to 2011, he was a starter in Arizona for Mike Stoops, who got fired in the middle of his final season there, where he went 4-8. He was 19-19 in 3 years at Arizona, but he was lighting it up. So he wound up being the third overall pick in the 2012 draft, 88th overall, selected by Andy Reid. And then he started six games in his rookie season for Andy Reid because Michael Vick got hurt. And Reid decided to stick with Foles when Vick came back from a concussion. So they wanted to see what they had in the kid. And that was it for Andy Reid in Philadelphia. He was the quarterback when Andy Reid got fired in Philadelphia. Chip Kelly came in, and he started 10 games with Chip Kelly. He made his only Pro Bowl of his career. They made the playoffs.
He lit it up, actually.
He, against the Saints in Philadelphia, hit Zach Ertz for a touchdown with less than 5 minutes to go in that game to give them a one-point lead. But stop me if you've heard this one before. Drew Brees led the Saints on a game-winning field goal drive to win it. And then the next year, he broke his collarbone in week 9. And that's when Chip Kelly handed things off to Mark Sanchez, which led to our one of our first drops we ever created. Remember Sanchez for in place of Foles won a Monday night game for Chip Kelly? And he went out and about.
I want you to have my cheese fries.
All right. No. That's one of the original drops of our show 10 years ago.
Mark, I want you to have my cheese fries.
Which in the 2013 season, he had 27 touchdowns and only two picks. Think about that ratio. That is insane. He also threw 7 touchdowns against the Raiders.
In week 9 of that year. Yeah, in 2013, which is
still an NFL record. It tied with a few other people.
Right. And so in 2015, I guess Chip Kelly had seen enough of Foles. They traded him to St. Louis for Sam Bradford.
Wow.
Yeah, Bradford. And then Kelly got fired. Then Kelly got fired in the middle of the 2015 season when he went 4 of 7 for the Jeff Fisher Rams, who had seen enough of him and decided to trade all the way up to the first overall pick to take Jared Goff. And Foles said, I want out. And they obliged him. And he wound up with Andy Reid again in 2016 as a backup for Alex Smith. Started one game. They didn't pick up his second-year option. And Philadelphia takes him back. And then 14 weeks into the season, the Eagles needed their backup to Carson Wentz because their kid, who was drafted behind Goff, who's drafting in St. Louis, caused Foles to want out. He decided to jump headfirst in the end zone here in the L.A. Coliseum, and Aaron Donald was in the way, blew his knee out, and Foles now is suddenly the starting quarterback for the team with the best record in the NFC. And he took him to the Super Bowl and won it. And won it, beating Tom Brady, and also scoring a touchdown of his own, receiving in the famed Philly special, which is memorialized by a statue in front of the home of the Eagles.
Crazy.
And he was named MVP of the Super Bowl. Yeah. 373 yards in the Super Bowl. 3 touchdowns. Beat Tom Brady.
So many yards.
Only other guy not named Eli Manning to beat Tom Brady in the Super Bowl is Nick Foles. And he brought that big Nick energy with him the next year. They made the playoffs the next year. Do you remember? He had the Eagles on a game-winning drive late in a divisional round game in the Superdome against the Saints, and a perfectly thrown ball to Alshon Jeffrey went right through his hands and was picked off, and that was the end of the run. Yep. Foles was ready to do it again. They had the feeling of, wait a minute, the magic carpet ride is taken off again. And then after that, he took a player option to get out, signed an $88 million 4-year deal with Jacksonville, broke his collarbone in week 1. And that was essentially
on a dime throw too, if you remember that play. Throw. He got lit up but made the throw perfect on the money and broke his collarbone.
And I remember a few weeks later being in London in a production meeting with Doug Marrone, the head coach at the time, wondering, do you go back to Foles or not? Because Gardner Minshew wasn't really lighting anything up. And Foles, they gave him the job back in week 11. He wasn't anything close to the Foles that they saw. By week 13, he was benched, and it was Minshew's show. Yep. Wound up with the Bears in the COVID season. 10 starts for them after the Bears dawned on them Trubisky may not be the guy. And then the next year, when Justin Fields was there and Andy Dalton was there. He got one spot start because both Fields and Dalton were hurt in 2021, and he threw his final career touchdown pass in a comeback win to beat the Seahawks to Jimmy Graham. Last year he played was 2022 with the Colts. He got a couple of starts, no touchdowns, four picks, and he didn't play at all last year. And today he says he's retired. What a run for Nick Foles. Mm-hmm. A Super Bowl MVP of improbable fashion. And if you remember his, what he said afterwards about believing in self, believing in yourself, never giving up, was one of the most inspirational sound bites I've ever heard.
Yeah, a man of extreme faith.
Correct. I wonder if he wants to do media. You know what? The best thing he could do is decide not to do media. Somebody comes down with laryngitis. He comes in, wins the Emmy Award.
What if Brady
that's
gets,
the only way right yeah
Brady catches
yeah. Laryngitis put Nick Foles in, he wins the
on,
Emmy Award
on Friday and yeah. they're like we gotta call we somebody gotta call Big Nick in.
That's funny.
Is he the most improbable athlete to ever get a statue?
That's up there, man,
yeah, just the highest of highs of his NFL career. The guy's got an NFL record
yep.
yeah. that you wouldn't even think.
MVP of the Super Bowl.
MVP of the Super Bowl, a trophy.
After he took the reins in the middle of December.
A statue in the crazy sports town of Philadelphia, yeah. of
Correct.
All places.
Correct.
Called his own play. He's the one that went to the coach.
Yeah, let's do that Philly special that. We've been practicing.
Hey, Philly.
Yeah, let's do it.
It's unreal.
It is.
And then the lowest of lows.
Correct.
Bounced around, been benched a few times.
Who played?
Yeah. He thought of
retiring after playing in St. Louis. Andy Reid's like, okay, I'll take you back. Let's see what you got. He backed up Alex Smith. And by the way, I don't mean to laugh here, but he goes to St. Louis. They get Goff. He goes to Kansas City. They get Mahomes.
Okay.
So he goes to Philly and goes, I'll back up the guy who you got drafting after Goff. I'll take over for him and win the Super Bowl for you anyway. You can't make it up.
Wow.
That's the headline of Nick Foles' career. You can't make this up.
Yeah. Here's a question.
Yes?
Who plays Nick Foles in the movie?
Oh.
I'm going to say my buddy Adam Demos plays him from Rescue High Surf. He
gets I don't know who that is. Who's the one who was Napoleon Dynamite?
Now he does. He's not athletic at all.
He kind of looks like him, though.
Was it Josh Heater?
Yeah,
John Heater.
John.
Don't he look like him a little bit?
A little bit. Yeah, a little bit. Why is need someone tall?
That's what I'm saying. Look up Adam Demos.
No, you don't. You just put somebody on an apple box and you shoot him from up. I mean, come on. This tricks of the trade. Come on, you're an actor. You know how it works.
Great point. I mean, he's hot right now. Except Glenn Powell play.
Glenn Powell can do whatever he wants.
He can play Nick Foles.
He'll get handled when he gets handled.
Very good. Well done. Okay, let's take a break. Mike Garafolo, looks like he's home. Looks like he is home. Looks like he's got bookshelves behind him.
He's home.
Yeah.
So
I don't think Ayuk's agent is going to appear behind him.
He's just waiting for the check-in.
That's next. This is the Rich Eisen Show. Let's talk about Sleep Number, people. We all know in the NFL there's no margin for error. A single mistake can change the outcome of a game. We all know that. And proven quality sleep, yeah, believe it or not, can boost reaction time, recovery time, and overall performance. You know that probably in your real life. The same thing goes in the National Football League, which is why Sleep Number is, in fact, the sleep and wellness partner of the National Football League. Partnering since 2018, 8 out of 10 players have a Sleep Number smart bed. You should too. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's is 70, just 10 numbers apart, but it is the world of difference because being able to adjust your bed's firmness after working out for recovery, that is game changing. So right now, during Sleep Number's biggest sale of the year, you can save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed plus special financing for a limited time only at a Sleep Number store, or you can go to sleepnumber.com. Sleep Number is the official sleep and wellness partner of the National Football League. See store for details. The Rich Eisen Show is sponsored by Grainger. Does this sound familiar? You're a maintenance specialist and you've been squaring off with a leaky radiator at your facility for hours. You're both drenched in sweat. You've thrown the whole playbook at it, but so far it's got an answer for everything. What you need is a teammate, a pro who's seen it all before, and that's Grainger. With support specialists always ready to chat, the product you need plus a million more, just give this ringer a ring. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by one of their local branches. The prayers of NFL Network programming executives have been answered. When the Bears take on the Bills, right, on Saturday night on NFL Network, the Bears starters will be playing. The rent stays like a before.
The Bears.
Saturday morning, Rich.
It's happening.
Well, morning in L.A.
It's happening.
1 o'clock Eastern.
Oh, 1 o'clock Eastern?
10 a.m. Pacific on NFL Network and NFL Plus.
Don't forget the plus.
I don't know why I turned into a honk all of a sudden. But
should we create Rich Eisen Plus? What would that even be?
A lot of Del Tufo.
No, that's not. That's minus. That's Rich Eisen minus. How do we plus it up around here?
I came up with an idea this pre-show with Chris. We'll run it by you after the show. I don't want to put it out there yet. I think that could be a plus, what I was pitching to you today, Chris.
What's that?
Where are we going to put it?
YouTube.
Go ahead.
Oh, the plus.
What is it?
Oh, it was just like a gambling segment.
Oh.
off of the main show.
You won't see that on NFL Plus.
Yeah, well, I want to recreate Brent Musburger and Jimmy the Greek with Chris and I.
Whoa. Which one of you hits the other?
Well, we won't do that.
Okay, that would be good.
We'll try not to hit each other.
Except Jimmy the Greek was an expert on this. Who's the expert on gambling?
The guy you turn to every time.
You're
a
an expert, huh?
Question.
What are you talking about? Are you plus? Are you plus or are you minus? For 2024. Are you?
Hey, that's me and his man.
So why would anybody want to watch a show saying I'm minus on the year? But because trust me,
this is different. He's betting everything.
I'm honest.
He's betting everything. We're just gonna
I'm
give
glad
him
you're
five
honest.
Games,
hey.
Rich.
I'm honest.
So it's Costanza. Listen to me and do the opposite.
Yeah. Right. Do as I say, not as I do.
I'm not waiting.
Back on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call click Grainger.com or just stop by. Lucas stopped by fresh back from 49ers camp. Great moment on live NFL Network television and streaming yesterday when Mike Garofalo was calling out the agent of Brandon Ayuk, who was just milling around in the background of the facility. Good to see you, Mike. How are you?
I'm great, Rich. Thank you. It was Raiders camp.
Which, Raiders camp. Okay.
But you're thinking 49ers because Ayuk. I get that.
Sure, you're right.
But it opened up a whole bunch of speculation, baseless speculation. People were like, oh, he's there to get something done with the – no, he's got a lot of clients around the league. Seeing a few of them there.
Yeah. I mean, it's as if Ayuk is his only client. All right. So now that we've gotten that all straight, what is the latest on Brandon Ayuk in your estimation? Mike,
in my estimation, and this is all educated, I would say more educated than guessing, but I would call it an educated guess because you got to piece this thing together.
Sure.
The 49ers, because we said they're never going to trade Brandon Ayuk because they're trying to win the Super Bowl. Well, at some point, this thing turned to the point where they were open to it because they had shut it down going back to the spring and just recently had really engaged with teams and given Ayuk and his agent permission to speak to teams because they got to get the contract part of it done. So they, I don't know exactly when, but within the last week or so, opened the gates to that. But just like we said, they're trying to win the Super Bowl. They're trying to figure out, okay, well, how do we make sure we get a wide receiver back? Which is why the reports came out, the framework of a deal with the Patriots and the Browns. They have receivers that coming back would make sense to the 49ers. The Steelers don't have that. They're not going to trade George Pickens, obviously. And that's why they need Ayuk and why they have interest in Ayuk. So part of this, and they just signed Robbie Chosen Anderson. I think he's got all three names now, if I'm not mistaken. Mm. So is that enough in their mind to say, okay, well, now let's work out the best deal we possibly can with the Steelers? Or is that just part of the process and they're still going to go? Like, this is all okay, we got to figure out this trade, but we also have to figure out we're creating a hole. So how do we best plug that hole as well? So there's a lot of things going on at once. And that's why I believe it's kind of been stuck in the mud a little bit the last couple of days.
Well, the Chosen Anderson signing to me sounds like they need to get somebody in camp, you know, and I'm sure Anderson's going to take an opportunity to get off the couch and play in a preseason game and maybe put some tape out there for himself. I can't imagine they're going to take somebody off the, you know, at the crib and say that's Ayuk's replacement. Clearly, they did also get, you know, Pearsall in the draft. And so I totally understand that they'd want a wide receiver back. But what happened? Have you determined what you're reporting on why the Niners suddenly said, okay, we'll take a look at trading him at the top of training camp when you're so close to a season? Like, what happened? Do you know?
I would say the hold-in worked, and because he was there and he was participating in meetings and he was around the facility, and from my understanding, he wasn't an issue inside the building. He just wasn't practicing. Now, there have, you know, been some meetings and some conversations. Go back to that meeting that they had. It was in July. It was before training camp, and Ayuk was the one that initiated it, and it was with the intention of trying to get things reset and from my understanding in that meeting, a lot of folks on both sides said some things they need to get off their chest. And they came away and it was like, okay, now we can potentially reset and negotiate a deal leading up to training camp so we don't have a holdout or a hold in or an issue or anything like that. Just get this deal done. And then it never really happened. They never got a formal offer from the 49ers. We have said repeatedly that the formal negotiations and the formal offers, and this is something where over the course of reporting on the NFL, I've kind of learned what constitutes an offer. Like, you can say in a conversation, okay, we'd be willing to do this, or an agent or a player doesn't really consider an offer to be an offer until it's sent in an email and okay, we've got a chance, and we've got a paper trail basically. So they haven't done that for months. They haven't done that since back in the spring. So, you know, the hold in happens, and it was strategic. And you can see Kyle Shanahan day by day being asked about it, getting more and more impatient because he wants to go out and coach the best football team he possibly can. So I could tell that this is something that has been grinding on him and grinding on the team. And they got to the point where it's like, all right, it's not going to happen here. It doesn't seem that way. So let's see if we can just get him out of here and make him happy and we move on.
Do we know the number? What's the number that Ayuk is looking for? What's that number?
Mike Reese from ESPN reported this yesterday, and I've been told the same thing. $32 million a year is what the Patriots were willing to do. Now, let's put that number in context. Justin Jefferson's up at 35. CeeDee Lamb's going to be up around there. Jamar Chase, whether he does it this year or next year, he's going to be up around there. That's the upper echelon of wide receivers. There's a big spread between 35 and 28, which is where Amon-Ra St. Brown and Jaylen Waddle, Devontae Smith. I mean, it was very well defined at $28 million a year for these guys, which in some cases they're number twos versus the guys that I just talked about that are number ones. Ayuk in his mind feels like he's a number one. When I get evaluations around the league, they say, well, he's a 1B, like he's on the bottom of that one tier. We'd consider him a one. And they have so many guys, the Niners, doing their offense that it's hard to really make an apples and apples comparison. So in his mind, he's saying, well, I at least got to be at the 28 number that these other guys were at. And the Niners weren't there. The Patriots were willing to split those two tiers. That was I'm telling you right now, no matter where he signs, no matter where he gets traded, no matter where the next deal comes from, whether it's the Niners or anybody else, I'll still leave them involved. It's not going to be that number. So he's already, I can tell you, he has already turned down more money to go wherever else he is going to be. So, frankly, it's not just about the money for him. And, you know, I know he wanted to play in Washington. I don't know exactly what the draw is for him in Pittsburgh. I think he's just got a feeling about that team and a feeling about that situation that he wants to gravitate toward, too. So it's going to be at a much lower number than 32. I usually, like, the guy signs and then we'll report, hey, he turned down more money elsewhere and nobody believes us.
Right.
Good that we have this ahead. Like, we put the cart before the horse on this one.
Right. It makes sense that the Patriots would want him, right? They tried for Calvin Ridley. They didn't get him. He went to Tennessee. But it makes sense that the Patriots would take their shot. And it also makes sense that Ayuk is like, listen, money's great, but why do I want to go to a spot where I don't know when the kid's going to start to play, and I got to break him in, and we don't know how good he's going to be, and this team was third overall on the clock for a reason last year. I know the Patriots aren't used to being in that position, but that is the reality of it, so that makes sense. The question of the timing of it now, though, Mike Garafolo, is it possible that the slowdown, if there is one, is occurring because the Steelers might have hit the mark with Ayuk, right, monetarily, but they don't have the receiver the Niners want back, and this could be like an NBA-type trade where they're looking for a third team willing to flip the receiver the Niners want to San Francisco, and that creates the issue of what the compensation would be in a three-way trade. Is that possible that that's happening right now,
Mike? I have no doubt in my mind that the 49ers have had those conversations. I have been told that, and they're nosing around the league. And the problem is nobody's really got an excess of receivers that can give you that caliber of guy you're looking for.
And that they're willing to trade him right now, right, at the outset of the season. Sure.
Yeah.
Right.
Which is why, I mean, if you're the 49ers and you look back on this, you may say to yourselves, we probably should have done this around the draft, right? And at the time, they thought it was salvageable, and they had the Deebo Samuel trade requests in the past that they were able to work their way through. So they felt the same way about Ayuk, and they thought they were going to be able to do that. You know, hindsight certainly is 2020, and I'm sure now looking back, they're probably saying, well, if we had done this around the draft, because a lot of times now you're trading, not a lot of times, if you're trading draft picks now, you don't know where that draft pick's going to be. You do it before the draft, you know exactly where it's going to be, which sometimes it can work out to your benefit, right? The Chicago Bears wound up with the number one overall pick last year because they had made a deal with the Panthers and it wound up being number one. So sometimes it does work out to your advantage, but there's an unknown in that regard. And a lot of times when general managers are doing these deals and talking to owners who want answers, to have the known is, you know, the better route to take in this one. So maybe looking back, they'll say, well, but at this point, there's nothing they can do about it. They've got to figure out the best path forward at this point. And they try, you know, while these trade talks were happening, at some point along the way, they did have some kind of conversation with him, from my understanding, to say, you know, can we still make this work here? And for whatever reason, Brandon Ayuk does not feel that that is the case now. So they've still kept that door open through this while allowing him to talk to other teams. So perhaps that's part of it, too, the little slowdown to say, you know, can we try one more time to see if we can reconcile this here? But I just think that so much damage has been done. I'm not seeing that path right now.
Yeah, because I mean, I was talking about it yesterday, Mike, on this show, that if there's any franchise where you could envision something that appears to be unsalvageable and totally broken actually being put back together, it's the franchise that once upon a time took Jimmy G's playbook away in the beginning of August and had him re-signed by the end of August, and he was starting by the middle of September. You know, and so like that's why I'm still not ready to close the door, but you're and one way the door could be closed is if the Niners aren't hitting the number. Do we know the number of the Niners have put out there?
Mike Silver reported that they offered $26 million a year. I believe that that's accurate. I believe that they were around. Now, again, offer versus non-offer. Right. There have been conversations since then where I believe they expressed a willingness to go higher, but that offer was never made. And so on Ayuk's end, he's saying, well, if it's not sent to me, then it's not officially an offer. That's my understanding, at least. So now it becomes the part about how it's, and he's proving it by not taking the New England deal, that it's about more than money. And it's about, you know, it's the R word. It's about respect, Rich. I mean, that's always going to be a part. I don't mean that, you know, I understand where the player's coming from, but it's just, you hear that a lot about the respect. I'm most curious if he winds up in Pittsburgh. I want to know what the draw is to Pittsburgh. I mean, I've got a lot of answered questions as we've gone along. That's the one that I don't have, because, you know, you talked about, well, he doesn't want to go to New England. It's an uncertain quarterback situation. Pittsburgh's not certain. I mean, the only thing certain in Pittsburgh seems to be that you're going to at least be on the good side of 500 with Mike Tomlin. He has that proven track record. So maybe it's Tomlin. I don't know. I kind of want him to go there because I want that question answered. Because if he doesn't go there, then maybe he won't give us the real answer on that one.
Where's Cleveland in this? Where's that?
They've tried. that's another question I would have for him. Why would you want to go to Pittsburgh and not Cleveland, right? Like, it's sure. It's not like Cleveland or Miami from geographically, right? It's they're both in that same neck of the country.
Did they not hit the number, maybe? Maybe they didn't hit the number, you know? Maybe they didn't split the tiers, to use your phrase, like New England did. I don't know, you
they
know?
They did not. They were not – doesn't sound like they're willing to go there. But I don't think that – the way Pittsburgh structures their contracts as well, they don't guarantee – a lot of times for a player, they'll guarantee the first year and nothing beyond that. Huh. So this may wind up being a smaller guarantee as well. Because I had that question to me. Well, maybe New England had a big average per year, but they didn't get. I said, you watch how Pittsburgh structures this deal. There's going to be less than the guarantee as well if, again, he winds up there. So I don't think it's going to be like, oh, monetarily, Pittsburgh was willing to go where Cleveland was not willing. I do not think that's going to be the case at all.
And is the reason the Niners haven't split the tiers, again, by that phrase, Mike Garofalo here, one of the NFL insiders from NFL Network and the Rich Eisen Show, mm-hmm. you use the phrase split the tiers, meaning tier one, Justin Jefferson, what we expect CeeDee Lamb to be at 35 and change, and then Amon-Ra St. Brown at the top at 28 of whatever tier he's got. I think he's top tier, but long story short, though, splitting the tiers, the Niners didn't do it. Is that because they know Purdy's around the corner? Is that what it is? Or like, or they just McCaffrey. Don't believe Ayuk is worth 30 something million bucks a year?
Probably some kind of combination of both, but also, McCaffrey, George Kittle.
Got Trent Williams. Trent Williams wants his too.
Yeah, Trent Williams. I mean, there's a lot of guys to pay. Now, Ayuk's response to that is that's not my problem, right? And the other part of the conversation is, well, your numbers, I mean, look at his numbers compared to, let's take Amon-Ra. Look at his numbers compared to Amon-Ra. They don't stack up. But they don't stack up because he doesn't get the ball as much as Amon-Ra does, because there's so many other mouths to feed in that offense, which, right. Again, Ayuk's answer to that, I'm sure, is that's not my problem. I'm just going off my worth and what I know that I'm able to do. And if I was in a different team and I was the number one option and there weren't four other guys of the top caliber to get the ball to, then I would have those numbers, right? So I think that's what really made the negotiations with San Francisco difficult and how we got to this point.
All right, so two more questions for you. Mike Garofalo here from NFL Network, NFL Media Insider, one of the insiders available on NFL Network, NFL Plus. So CeeDee Lamb not signed because they're waiting to see how the pieces land here, or the Joneses and CeeDee are at an impasse in their own right?
No, I think it was a process, and the Cowboys wanted a certain length of the contract, whether it was 5 years. I think they like to do 5-year deals. Same thing with Dak. Like, they want to do a 5-year deal. It got him down to 4. That was and is part of the conversation. I just can't imagine that this takes much longer. I can't. I know. And my understanding is there's been progress. So I believe CeeDee Lamb. Jane Slater and I were talking, my colleague at NFL Network, yesterday about the timing of.
She's our colleague, Mike. Our colleague.
Our colleague.
Yes.
Sorry.
It's okay. It's okay.
One big happy family, Rich.
Yes, we are.
And she was talking about the timing of another deal that happened recently. And Jane knows much more about the Cowboys than I do and remembers much more about the Cowboys. Mm-hmm. And it was like right when they broke camp. So they had this like, okay, we're coming back home and we're bringing our guy. I can't remember who the heck it was, but she was saying, wouldn't be surprised if that happens. Now they're in Oxnard, I believe, a little later than they usually are. So that's still going to be a week plus, whatever it winds up being. But I can't imagine this gets close to week one without a deal.
Okay, so you feel that way about CeeDee. Same thing with Ja'Marr Chase. You mentioned how he could do it next year. What about him?
Yeah, and then if that's the case, because he's at year three. Jefferson was at year four. So Justin Jefferson had to wait for his fourth year to really get the deal that he wanted to get done in Minnesota. He may have to do that. He being Ja'Marr Chase, but then at that point, you know, why does the hold-in continue, right? Or at some point you go, okay, well, this is not going to happen this year. I'm not going to hold out through the entire season. I mean, I obviously want to play and put the production up and help the numbers. And then maybe next year you're jumping Justin Jefferson. If you have the year that you're capable of having and you stay healthy, then you could be the new high watermark at $36, $37 million. If you get another salary cap jump like we wound up, I mean, nobody's expecting that, but that can change the game as well. So that may wind up being the case. And then if that is, and I know that there's frustration in Cincinnati. I know they were trying to get this done. They feel like they should have been able to get this done. They have not to this point. It doesn't sound like I'm hearing much more positive vibes with CD than I am with Jamar at this point. So at what point does he go, okay, this is just not going to happen, so I got to get back on the field. We'll see.
All right, before I let you go, Mike Garofalo, sports talk radio question, which means I'm giving you multiple choice.
Yeah.
You must choose in your best guess on what happens here. Here are your choices. Brandon Ayuk goes to Pittsburgh. Mm-hmm. Brandon Ayuk goes to Cleveland. Brandon Ayuk goes somewhere else. Brandon Ayuk signs and stays with the Niners. Or Brandon Ayuk doesn't get traded and winds up holding out week one and for who knows how long. Mm-hmm. Those are your five choices. Mike Garofalo, you started this conversation with an educated guess. I'd like your educated guess on the final question here. What do you have?
Let me just make sure. I always got to check the text to see if nothing happened. Nothing.
Okay.
I will still continue to say Brandon Ayuk winds up as a Pittsburgh Steeler. I believe that is going to wind up being the case. We do not have an agreement at this point.
Correct.
On either side. Obviously, they have the general understanding of at least where the contract is going to be, and then bing bang boom, you can finish that one off quickly. But I believe in the end he winds up with the Pittsburgh Steelers in relatively short order here.
Oh, in relatively short order.
Well, I'm
okay.
My line the last couple of days has been like, I feel like we're getting close. I feel like we're getting close, and I feel like there's only a certain time frame that you can basically consider close, sure. Right? And I know that there's a lot of Twitter X reporting right now going on where guys have stamped along the way, and they'll all claim credit and say, "See, I told you it was done."
Right.
I don't know. I feel like there's a statute of limitations on how long you can claim something is going to get done. But I'm tired of saying we're getting closer because at some point, it should have been done the last couple of days if I keep saying we should have.
No, I hear you. No, I totally say. Okay, so you choose Ayuk to Pittsburgh. Steeler fans would lose their minds if that happens. They'd be very happy about that. Certainly if they keep Pickens at the same time.
It would be a great addition at this time. And again, I in the end, if that winds up happening, especially what we know with what New England offered to get him at the number that I believe you'll wind up getting him at, should only make you even more happy.
And Justin Fields is the week one starting quarterback there? How about that?
Which pre-training camp may have seemed crazy. When I was there in Latrobe early on for Back Together Weekend, they made a point of, when I had conversations with folks behind the scenes, making a point of saying, everybody's assuming that Russ was the guy. Like, Mike Tomlin only said he was in the pole position. This is a competition here. And Russ hasn't been on the field. I continue to say Justin Fields is going to do something in the preseason that's absolutely spectacular because he does it. And Mike Tomlin likes to play his guys, certainly wants to see his quarterbacks. He's going to do something, whether it's with his arm or legs. He's going to do something. You're going to go, wow. Russ is not a wow guy anymore. Plus, he's got the calf injury. He hasn't been on the field. And my understanding is Fields has been extremely willing, and this is something I heard back to Chicago, extremely willing to take coaching. And so Arthur Smith and his coaching staff have feel like there's been progress there. So yeah, I'm covering that game tomorrow on NFL Network, the Steelers and the Texans. If I can get there with all the rain coming up the Eastern Seaboard, right, I'll probably wind up driving when all is said and done just to make sure I get there.
Okay. Well, I look forward to seeing you there, and I appreciate the time here, Mike. Thank you very much.
You got it, Rich. Thank you very much.
That's my colleague, Mike Garofalo, right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Very good. So, lots to take in there, huh? Man, if it's Fields and it's Ayuk to start, and if you told a Steeler fan that back in early March.
Crazy.
In Atlanta, week one, Pickens, Ayuk, Najee, Freiermuth,
so Pickens
Roman Wilson.
Not get traded then.
I don't think so. No. Let's talk a little bit more about this. That's next. This is the Rich Eisen Show, 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Lots of time for you, Christian Watson of the Packers, still to come.
This episode is brought to you by our good friends at NFL Sunday Ticket on YouTube TV. I'm sure by now you've all gotten back into your Sunday routines, but they could be even better. With NFL Sunday Ticket and YouTube TV, you get the most live NFL games all in one place, every game, every Sunday. And you can even watch up to four different games at once with MultiView, one of my favorite inventions of this decade. It's exactly what you need to catch all the action. Make your Sundays more magical. And also, YouTube TV is great. I got it this year. It's awesome. Sign up now at youtube.com/BS. Device and content restrictions apply. Local and national games on YouTube TV. NFL Sunday Ticket for out-of-market games excludes digital-only games.
Named one of the best personal finance podcasts, The Stacking Benjamin Show with Joe and his friends makes financial literacy fun.
We see money inefficiency OG around us all the time. We've got a few skeletons sitting out in the open, and maybe we need to broom them into the closet, if you know what I mean.
Nope, take that out.
What is...
Whatever you were going for didn't land right. Who's got a shovel and some lime?
Maybe you need to do that with your financial picture. I don't know.
Find out more by searching the Stacking Benjamins podcast wherever you listen.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show,
Todd Lincoln.
The game is
shout out.
The Game Time app. Get it on a mobile device near you right away, please, and start buying tickets. And you'll love exactly what I love, that you can make sure that what you're buying is in a perfect spot for you and your family or your friends or whatever in terms of view of what you're looking at, the stage, the field, the court. Thanks to that feature that is a panoramic view from your seat, you get to see it in the app before you buy. And then when you toggle the all-in pricing feature, it shows you the complete 100% total upfront, zero surprise fees at checkout. And when you're trying to buy baseball tickets, makes it even faster and easier. The prices go down the closer it gets to the first pitch. I'm telling you how great Game Time is. You can remove the guesswork out of buying baseball tickets in particular with Game Time. Download the app, create an account, use my code RICH. You get $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Visit GameTime.co for restrictions. Again, create the account. Redeem your code RICH. You get $20 off your first purchase. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed.
All right, Rich, I put up a poll while you were talking to Mike. The question you asked him, what happens with Brandon Ayuk? Traded to the Steelers, traded somewhere else, signs a new deal with the 49ers, holds out, misses week one or more.
I think what you should do, though, is, I mean, Browns fans could be like, what about us?
Well, that's kind of the somewhere else. You can't rule out a mystery team.
I guess.
I had Steeler fans, my boys in Pittsburgh,
losing it, right? They must be losing it.
They're like, yo, what's going on? And I'm like, I don't know.
No one knows.
No one knows.
It's been all over the place.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Early results, 45% traded to the Steelers.
Well, I mean, that's what Mike Garafolo thought. Yeah. And he's the one who's on it. You know, that's what he thought, the Steelers.
I'm just wondering, the longer this goes on, the more Kyle Shanahan is just like, screw it, give him what he wants, you know?
Yeah, but you can't do that. First of all, he's not in charge of the cap. I mean, he could say, I'm the coach of this team and whatever he wants, let's get it done. But again, Trent Williams is going to have some form of improvement. And Purdy's around the corner, gents.
Yeah.
Around the corner, and that market is exploding. Exploding. So, as you pointed out, Chris, the reason why you can say to Bosa, here's yours. Mm-hmm. And McCaffrey, here's yours. And Kittle. And Debo, here's yours. Is because the quarterback is not requiring his on the same level yet. That's coming. That's coming. And I don't care how many interceptions this kid has thrown in camp right now. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. By the way, look at those arms. You see the arms right there?
That's not what he looks like now.
No.
Yeah.
He has 100% shown up, rocked up. And I'm assuming he's going to be just as fast because he can beat you with his legs too.
Did it in the playoffs.
Okay, and he has shown up, rocked up. Look at that, right there. Kittle was talking about how...
Quadzilla.
What do you say? It was just like a Pokemon version, you said, of Nick Bosa? Is that what he said?
That's funny.
I mean, so again, that has to be taken into consideration right now, and that's maybe why they're saying 26 for you, Ayuk. And he's thinking, what, $6 million more a year, but he's got to figure out, do I take the 26 to stay put if it's still offered? Because I know where it is, I know where I'm playing, and I know who I'm playing with, and I know who I'm playing for. I don't move anywhere. I can maybe get a better place. Or do I go somewhere else where it's a total unknown? Hour three coming up on this program, Christian Watson of the Packers. And that's a very powerful thing. And I think maybe the longer that this sits, the Niners are doing that, playing it out. Or, again, a third team in. Because if Calvin Austin isn't lighting the fire, you know how when you do a fantasy trade with people and you want to get that great player, or wait a minute, somebody's trying to make a fantasy trade with you for your great player, mm-hmm. and you're like, I want to get your best player back, and the answer is like, no, here's three people that aren't nearly as good, and some of them you don't really need. I think that may be what the Steelers are offering back for Ayuk.
Yeah. It seems like their offer back is not blowing their socks off.
You know what? Like, if this was a fantasy trade, you'd say, I want George Pickens.
Yeah, that would be mandatory.
Right. And by the way, I think that's the way it is in reality as well.
Yeah.
And so if they're saying, here's Calvin Austin III and two others, and you're like, well, the problem with us not paying Ayuk is we got to pay a bunch of old people. What are you going to cut two other guys that I liked so I could take your two guys on?
Yeah.
Like, it's volume is not what I need. I need quality.
Right.
And so if the answer is like, I want Pickens, not the other guys, and you got to then bring in a third team now, do you know how long that's going to take? It'll be more than just a half day.
Yeah, that's a lot of number crunching going
on. That may be why this is taking on a little bit longer than you think. Christian Watson coming up.
Former Navy SEAL Sean Ryan shares real stories from real people from all walks of life on The Sean Ryan Show.
Tucker Carlson, what is it that you think that people gravitate
towards? I'm not self-aware. I refuse to be self-aware. I don't even look in mirrors at all, which you can probably tell from my appearance. I don't have a crazy high IQ, or I really don't have that many skills. I would say my main skill is I believe my instincts. I don't hesitate to follow my instincts, ever. The extent that I have gotten in trouble.
The Sean Ryan Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.